Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Berhantu with me, Hafiz Rahman. Thank you so much for listening and making Berhantu your choice of podcast for anything horror. I'm having a very bad bout of runny nose today, so please pardon me if you hear me, trying to be a fully functional human being / storyteller today with all the sniffles and all. Okay, this episode, I want to share with you, I've always been interested with stories about black magic, right? And I feel like every time when I share a story about black magic, it really just opens up my eyes about how evil people truly are. You know, like, you don't need hantu when you have humans living around. And we always think that people who want black magic are people who are not well-versed in the religion, because if they are, they would know, you know, how terrifying it is, you know, and the dosa that comes with when you bersekutu dengan syaitan and all that, and kau duakan the Almighty. But time and again, I've been surprised that even the most pious, even the one seemingly pious, I would say, would resort to black magic. And this story happened in Kuantan. This is from a fan. Hi. She has been a fan, and this happened to her elder brother in the early 2000s. And she said that my brother is much better now. He's married with 3 kids. So am I. But I wanted to share this story with you. I'm trying to... Okay, so it's written in Malay, of course, but I'm trying to just translate it to the best of my ability, okay? So this is a story from Kuantan, and my brother was a young ustaz, and he went to study Islamic studies in Jordan, okay? So when he went back, the natural thing was to be attached to a mosque, right? And he very quickly rose up the ranks because of the fact that he has a degree in Islamic studies. So, ada orang mata merah lah. You know, there are people who are unhappy with his success story. The fact that this 26-year-old boy came back from Jordan and suddenly he's holding a managerial post in the mosque, you know. And the one who sent it, they do not know who until today. But she said, I have a very strong inkling that it's the people from the mosque, because it can't be anyone else, you know. My brother is very mild-mannered. He is always smiling. He's like a nice man, you know. Dia berbual dengan orang, dia kalau berbual dengan orang, you know, dia bertunduk, you know. He has never raised his voice. Like, I've never seen my brother raise his voice, even when he's angry. You know, when he's angry, he will mengucap and all that. So my brother is really like the epitome of like a nice boy, like a nice man, you know. And he's so sick that this happened to him. He was at the receiving end of black magic, and it happened for over a period of 3 years, she said, until the fact that he was wheelchair bound and he cannot walk. So what happened? Okay, so it all started when he became when he took on a managerial post in this mosque in Kuantan, Malaysia. And he said that weird things started to happen like a month into his post, you know, to the point where he cannot work and he had to quit and he had to give the post to someone else after like 6 months, because like the first 6 months when it happened, the wheelchair bound, all right? And it continued to happen all the way for 3 years, because when they got the case and when he was being diagnosed with getting black magic, it took 2 years for the spirit to leave the body. That's how bad it is. Like, macam, the effect is this very fast, but to get that thing out of the body, it takes years and years. So after 3 years, then he was much better. So what happened in that 5 months, okay, before he was wheelchair bound? She said that I was there throughout, because I was not married. I was living with my parents, like all Asian parents do, and I was very close to my brother, right? Dorang tiga beradik. So he's number two, she's the last one. It all started when he would regularly read the Quran, of course, right? So he will regularly read the Quran. How do I explain this in English? Rehal is this wooden fixture that we Muslims use to put our Quran on it, right? So if you want to read it, we can't put it on the floor, we put it on a rehal. So rehal is this X, it's like in the shape of an X. It's usually a wooden fixture, but now there's plastic, there's acrylic as well. we put it on the floor so that the Quran is not really on the floor itself. Okay? So Rehal. So it all started, he said that whenever he would read the Quran, he would open the Quran, right? And he would put on the Rehal would creak by itself. Like that. As if someone, and the only way one can do it is if one is putting their hands on the Quran and pressing the Quran. You know what I mean? Like, it will only creak when there's pressure on it. But my brother pakai lidi, and he's not holding the Quran. And he said that there's many occasions whereby he's reading the Quran and then the Rehal would it got worse because after a few times it happened, there was one night he said there's no one at home. He was alone. Okay? Because everyone went a trip to Melaka, tak silap aku. But he had to stay back because he had to work lah. You know, he had to work. So at that night, dia seorang kat rumah, dia baca Quran and the told them when they went back from Melaka. Dia cakap, something happened to abang. Dia cakap, what happened? He was reading the Quran. It's as if someone tendang the Rehal. Someone kicked the Rehal because he said, I was reading. Suddenly, the Rehal flew across the room. Like, it just flew across the room. And then the Quran was just like, boom, flat on the floor, like that. So it's like, it cannot be my leg. He was freaked out. He said, he's freaked out. And she said this in his email. Okay, I'm trying to translate. She said, even if you are a Hafiz Al-Quran, which is if you memorize the Quran page to page, back to front, when you are dealing with these things, suddenly you do not know what to pray. It's as if all of your knowledge is out of the window. So he said that's what happened to him. Like, dia tahfiz Al-Quran tau, budak ni, abang dia. Tapi, yeah, that's it lah. He just doesn't know what to pray. Like, dia tiba-tiba macam, dia tak tahu nak baca ayat kursi ke, dia tak tahu nak, ayat tiga kul ke. He said suddenly he just went blank. And he was so scared, he ran out of his room and he slept in the living room. The next day when he went back home, then he shared the story. Okay, itu tak apa. Second part, he said that every time when he baca Quran, he said he would feel this intense pain inside his tummy. So he would always stop, pergi toilet macam nak berak kan. Like he thought he was going to shit. But went to the toilet, tak keluar tahi, like tak berak. Maybe stomach flu. Went to the doctor. Doctor said nothing wrong. Maybe it's just you just irregular eating whatsoever. Please regular eating. Whatever. Until the point where he said there was one time, I saw it with my own eyes. My brother is like a fetus on the floor in front of the Quran. Just, ow, pain. Macam as if it's like a mix of like, macam someone like punch him in the gut. But he cannot continue reading the Quran because of the fact that he always get this intense stomach pain. Pergi doktor, dia did an x-ray. Dalam perut dia ada cacing lah, ya. And then the doctor is like, how come suddenly you got worms inside your that one? So of course I take antibiotics and all that. So nothing happened. Okay, that's it. Done. Now, every time bila dia solat, he said, every time bila aku rukuk is when you, how do I say this to my non-Muslim friends? Rukuk is when you are perpendicular, lower torso is perpendicular to, your body is perpendicular, your upper torso is in symmetry, parallel with the floor, right? You say every time bila aku rukuk, I always feel as if someone is pijak-pijak belakang aku. But there's no one in the room. But he said every time when I pray, when I rukuk, rasa macam ada orang diri kat atas badan aku and jumping on it. Like stopping him from praying. Okay, tak pasal. Alright? The last straw was happened dekat dalam masjid itself. He said dalam office. So he would always stay in the office to do work, right? He said, every time in the office, I would always see like this black shadow going in and out of the door because the door is not It's not closed, so it's always open. But he always say this black shadow going in and out, in and out, in and out. And I mean, they know that sometimes these things exist inside a masjid. So he just thought that mungkin ada makhluk ataupun jin Islam ke dekat dalam masjid, you know, who just happened to be there. But he didn't know that that thing is latching onto him. Really latching onto him. And dia akan dapat weird dreams. So he'll get weird dreams to the point where he would dream like, he will be sleeping and then kat bawah is filled with ular, filled with snakes. There was one time he dreamt he was in the in the office of the masjid, and a hand gave him a baby. And he said, no, it's not my baby. I don't want. I'm not married. I'm only 26 years old. I'm not married. But this hand and the nails are black would give him the baby. And every single time bila dia tak ambil baby tu, that baby, that thing would let go and the baby would fall on the floor and the baby would start crying and screaming and crying. So because he's such a nice man in his dream, he don't want the baby to suffer. So the last time, he said, the last time when I dreamt that before abang aku terus paralyzed, bottom lower down, was when he dreamt and then he said, okay, you know what? Please don't throw the baby on the floor. He took the baby. Starting from that day onwards, starting from that dream onwards, kaki dia mula kebas-kebas. Like he said, my legs would like macam lose sensation lah, you know, to the point where he cannot walk. So he had to be on wheelchair, and he said that his health deteriorated. Like he cannot eat. Whatever he eat, he will vomit. He can't eat, and they keep thinking that maybe it's the charging inside the stomach or something. But tapi dah makan antibiotics, but still nothing happened. Nothing happened. So cannot eat and all that. He lost a lot of weight. He said my brother lost like 15 kg, and he was like really frail and all that. And of course the mother knew something was not right lah, you know. So it's a single parent, by the way. So the mother brought him pergi berobat. And bukan berobat kat Kuantan tau. They went all the way to Terengganu, tak salah aku. They went to Terengganu, as written in the email here. They went to Terengganu to have treatment, and every month have to go for treatment. But he said, I wish there's stories that I can share about the treatment itself, but I didn't go because my mom is the only one who would accompany my brother to go to Terengganu. I would be in school. I was still in school then, so I cannot follow them. But the mother did say that someone sent something. But the healer in Terengganu said that no need to know lah. It's just that you just need to know that this is an effect of black magic. Someone said it to him, and he just needs to get it out of the system lah. You know, so they went to Terengganu for 2 years. Yeah, two years plus, and then finally abang dia dah okay. But in that process, when the abang is always going to Terengganu to go for treatment, he had to leave the job lah. You know, so he said the guy who was taking over him was another member of the mosque, and she said like, I hate mosque people after that. She said, I do not know why I have this irrational hate of these mosque people, because I have a gut feeling that it's people from the mosque who did it, because no one else would be jealous of my brother for doing or achieving what he did. You know, it was only the mosque people who knew about this. So this is a story I wanted to share with you, and I hope that you share it with the audience. So thank you so much for that story. Amazing story. And if you guys have more stories to share about black magic, please feel free to share with me at hafizabrahman@yahoo.com, hafizabrahman@yahoo.com. If I have more stories, there'll be more berhantu episodes. I think that's just how it goes lah. Kalau tak ada episode tu, maknanya aku dah tak ada cerita lah kan. Okay, and with that, thank you so much. Salam Ramadan, guys. We're still in the month of Ramadan. So donate as much as you possibly can and pray for everyone, all right? Thank you. Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.